Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, Kim here, and I've got an important update to our original podcast recording. We created this podcast initially on Monday, July 22nd, when we arrived in San Jose for the NCIA Cannabis Summit Conference. On Tuesday morning, the conference buzz was all about how the FDA had sent a warning letter to Curaleaf, letting them know that four specific products that are being sold in Walgreens were actually being marketed by Curaleaf as unregulated drugs. We don't know if Walgreens or any other pharmacies that offer Curaleaf products or other CBD brands were also sent warning letters about their products, packaging, or claims of efficacy. While we believe that everyone should have access to the medical supplies they need in order to be healthy, we also believe that it's entirely possible that the medicalization of the cannabis and hemp industry may also turn out to be its Achilles heel. The approval of Epidiolex, which is derived from CBD, as a seizure treatment medicine, it enables the FDA to get a leg in. It is their job, after all, to regulate legal medical supplies as well as food for humans or pets. That's right, they also have jurisdiction over the pet products that are sold as supplements, food, or medication. We don't know what will happen going forward. At the moment, no one does. But what we do know is that this is a precarious time for many CBD product companies who absolutely cannot afford to tangle with the FDA and potentially end up facing large fines or other punitive actions. If you have not called both your senator and your House representative to discuss this situation with them already, there's no time like the present. Make your voice heard and let your elected officials know that you hold them accountable for making sure that laws are enacted which allow our industry, in its current form, to not only exist, but to grow and thrive while complying with reasonable regulations and rules. Now, back to our regularly scheduled podcast episode.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. Today, we're looking at the cannabis industry, a recurring topic on our show, and we are specifically taking a look at some of the CBD-related issues, or perhaps opportunities, that are emerging with the recent FDA guidance and some of the new rules and regulations that a number of states are enacting. That's right, welcome to another episode of the podcast. We're talking cannabis industry, CBD to be exact, and taking a look through some of the new rules and regulations that are coming in based on the FDA's recent guidance regarding CBD, claims, product inclusions, and so on.
That's right. I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman.
And this is another episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. So if you're a new listener to our podcast, you may wonder what mobile wallets, marketing, and cannabis have to do with each other. Or maybe not. So let's just clear that up right off the bat.
Right. There are two different platforms that we represent on the podcast. One is for mainstream, everyday, regular merchants, business owners, realtors, online coaches, and so on.
And the other is for cannabis industry business owners. CannabisWallet.net is the platform that handles the cannabis and CBD-related products. It's a completely different business, but we do create podcast episodes with industry updates, marketing tips, and tricks that are geared towards the business. So before we really get cranking on this episode, I want to take just a second, Hayes, and mention a couple of our archived episodes that may be worth listening to, especially if people are new to the show and have not heard them. So the first one that I'm thinking about is the two-part series that we did about a year or so ago, about cannabis banking.
Ah, you mean the ones about the Cole memo? That was a great series, and both episodes are still in the top of the view charts.
Yeah, those are episodes 51 and 53 are the numbers for the two Call Memo episodes, where we did detail a lot of things regarding banking, which is still a huge industry problem and has a lot of confusion surrounding it.
So these are always good episodes to listen to if you are trying to familiarize yourself with the business side of the cannabis industry.
Right, and the other episode that I'm going to mention is number 44, which is called Cannabis Advertising Laws by State. And the reason that I mention this one is because it's interesting to me that it is almost, at this point, easier to create and advertise and sell cannabis products than it is to have a legitimate CBD business, especially with the current FDA guidance.
So with that said, let's dive right into this week's topic, CBD. The FDA is the U.S. agency that seems to have decided to take charge of the CBD industry, and they are now driving the adoption of new rules and regulations since the passage and signing of the Farm Bill during the fall of 2018.
That's right. Oh, they don't call in the Food and Drug Administration for nothing, you know. So in July of 2019, and if you're listening to this episode as a first run, that was literally just days ago, almost.
Right.
But sometimes people are listening to the archives, so we do like to be specific on things like times and dates. Anyway, in July of 2019, I believe July the 7th was the date, the FDA published a new guidance titled, What You Need to Know and What We're Working to Find Out About Products Containing Cannabis or Cannabis-Derived Compounds, Including CBD.
Well, that's certainly a mouthful. So what exactly does this new guidance say? What can we interpret from it, and how do the practical applications look?
Okay, sure. So let's start with the FDA's reasoning behind why they're going to be taking the lead on this, or they're going to take the lead at least until the U.S. Congress finally decides to step in and create some more specific laws about both cannabis and hemp products. So what the FDA memo says is, and I'll quote, the recent increase in the number of CBD products may be because of both recent changes in state law and because the 2018 Farm Bill removed hemp, which is defined as cannabis and cannabis derivatives with very low concentrations, no more than 0.3% on a dry weight basis of THC, from the definition of marijuana in the Controlled Substances Act. However, CBD products are still subject to the same laws and requirements as FDA-regulated products that contain any other substance.
Okay, that's a start. Does the FDA say how they are able to determine what products are hemp-derived?
No, you know, this guidance doesn't really touch on the differences between THC-purposed cannabis and hemp. So, and you know, the actual chemical and all that, that's probably an entire episode that we could do about the misconceptions, the misperceptions, and the miscategorizations that are out there running in the wild.
Yes, we certainly could do an episode on that. So that's a lot of missing stuff, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it is. But the FDA is pretty serious, and they seem, and I'll interject my opinion here, that, you know, unless we're talking about opioids, in which case they claim to have no jurisdiction and try to put all the blame on the DEA. So, you know, but the FDA does seem to have a system that works at least marginally. They're a huge organization. They have nearly 15,000 employees. And they are tasked with regulating food and drugs in the United States. That means, by extension, they are also regulating any food or drug products that are legally imported into the U.S.
So what's the difference in the FDA and the DEA?
Well, okay, so the DEA is more of an enforcement agency, not a policy or a rule-making or generating agency. The FDA normally also does not do criminal enforcement. They do have the power, just like the FTC does, though, to shut down a business or stop a company through other means that don't involve arrests. You could say that they can control the power of the purse in a lot of cases.
Got it. So what else does the new FDA document say?
So the FDA is one of the primary agencies tasked with making sure that companies do not make unsubstantiated claims about their product. And, you know, I know your inbox is as spammed as mine with stuff like CBD cures cancer, CBD cures epilepsy, you know, more on that a little bit later, but CBD cures Alzheimer's, you know, this kind of claim. I mean, the truth of the matter is that outside of Epidiolex, the FDA has not approved any medical treatment for usage for any CBD products, even though there are a considerable number of them in fast-track trials and in the process right now.
Okay, that's understandable.
So the FDA claims that its top priority is to protect the public health. And that includes making sure that consumers know about products that put their health and safety at greatest risk, such as those claiming to prevent, diagnose, treat, or cure serious diseases. Then they say that CBD and hemp products that are being marketed as supplements, food additives, pet supplements, etc., that these are untested, potentially unsafe, and that they're absolutely illegal to sell, regardless of state laws that may or may not allow it.
So what are all these people that have built their businesses on CBD additives supposed to do?
You know, that's a really good question, but I don't have any answers for you.
So, in the meantime, drugstores like Walgreens and CVS are selling CBD products on the shelves?
Yeah, and, you know, like Walmart, Amazon, there are a few states that have actually started cracking down on CBD companies, especially the ones making edible products. These states include New York, North Carolina, Arizona, Michigan, and Ohio.
And what about the states that are making their own rules about CBD?
Well, you know, that's like the proverbial shit show getting started, since the FDA does not want the states to make it up as they go along. They've seen what's happened with, you know, the THC cannabis products, and they're totally hoping to avoid having that same sort of complex state-by-state. I mean, it's basically a refusal by the states to follow federal law.
You know, we have the same sort of thing in Canada. It's been being rolled out province by province, and our nationally mandated legalization is still a completely hodgepodge of rules, regulations, taxes, public and private ownership, and so on. It's enough to drive you crazy if you're in the industry.
You can say that again.
So what's the problem that the FDA sees with CBD? Why are they making such a big deal out of it?
So their contention is that without regulation and testing, there is no good way to know what dosage, what types, what potency, or what combination of CBD products are good for a body and which ones might create adversarial problems within the body. So they want to look at things like how much is enough, how much is too much, do topical and oral doses work the same way, does combining topical with oral with inhaled products create or generate some other effects that we don't know about. And then they also want to look at whether or not long-term usage may be harmful to, you know, like the liver, for instance.
Oh, I hear you. We could go on that one. Well, there really is actually almost no data to work from, I suppose. I know there's not.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, the lack of testing and trials over the past few years have sort of created this vacuum. And when you couple that with the fact that, you know, cannabis and hemp products are going to vary from one crop to the next, even if you grow them in the same fields with similar conditions, and it becomes a very difficult situation to oversee.
So I guess we'll just have to wait and see how things are going to progress.
Well, I mean, that's really all that can happen. We know, I know, you know, plenty of CBD product companies who have zero intent. As far as they're not going to stop selling their ingestibles or their pet products, and they're taking the same sort of attitude that dispensaries in the legal states have adopted, which is do business first and deal with the fallout later.
Yeah, I think we call that begging for forgiveness instead of asking permission, eh?
Yeah.
So let's wrap it up. Since that's the info that we have, and we'll come back and update the blog or do another podcast episode once we have enough information to offer more out there to our listeners.
Perfect. And, you know, as always, if you are trying to reach out to us, we have contact forms on the dominoresearch.com website, which is the host of this podcast, the mobilewalletmarketer.com mainstream website, and the cannabiswallet.net, which is the cannabis industry platform. We're usually pretty quick to reply, or you could also try grabbing us on LinkedIn or Instagram. And, oh, God, if you're not following us, what's our Instagram, please?
@cannabis_wallet.
Got it. So we are cannabis_wallet. Perfect.
Yes. So have a great week, and that wraps it up for us.